You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Let your love and your faithfulness keep us safe forever. Amen. The text for this sermon comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 38, which says, Jesus turned to them following, them being Andrew's brother Peter and an unnamed person. Jesus turned to them following and said, What are you seeking? The thesis for this sermon is that it is a verifiable fact for every person in this room, that the number one thing that we want in our lives is to be loved. The number one thing that we want in our lives is to be loved. We want to be the object of love. We want to be the fixed point for which someone else's love is pointed. That is what this text is about, and that is what this sermon is about. Being loved is the number one thing that we want. That begins the day we are born, and it remains for us for our entire lives. You could offer all sorts of exceptions by way of rebuttal to that, but in our actual lives, in the ones that we live Monday to Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, the number one thing we want in our lives is to be loved. That is, a desire is shaped almost every decision we've ever made. From the young lady you tried to impress in the fifth grade, to the school you applied to the sport or extracurricular activity you did. To the outfit you picked out on the first day decades ago. And scores of other big decisions, from cutting bait at one job and moving to another to moving to a new neighborhood. We can have the whole world. We can have the entire world, like Julia Roberts in Notting Hill, the great rom-com you remember from 30 years ago, for her character being the most famous actress in the world at the time. Millions of dollars to her name, everyone wants a piece of her, but at the end of the day, as she says so plainly in the film to a simple bookshop owner who she falls in love with, shooting a film in London, she says, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her. Underneath everything, we're asking the question, even if you don't always consciously know, who loves me? What can I do to increase the odds of me being loved? What do I need to do to be loved? Now, the reason of which is twofold. The first of which is that we were made to be loved. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our God-given createdness. Being loved says that you belong to someone. Being loved says that you're okay as a person. Being loved says that you're secure, that you quite simply are loved. But also because we lived in what I'm calling a threefold great cosmic force of negativity, as told by St. Paul, being the flesh, which we all have, and the law, which we are all under, and living in this present evil age, we thus painfully know what rejection feels like. From small slights to major impactful lifelong hurts. And you don't want to feel that way. I don't want to feel that way. We don't want to feel that way. We don't want to feel rejection. And thus, because we painfully know what rejection feels like, we do everything we can to not have. You probably still remember the first time someone told you, it's not you, it's me. You remember what the world felt like when it came crashing down. You remember what the chicken fried rice tasted like as the role was telling you that. And most of us know but what professional rejection feels like to one degree or another. And some here painfully know what familial rejection feels like. And because we walk this earth Monday to Friday and Saturday to Sunday with wounds that come from rejection, we often, but not always, we often have cause to wonder where we stand with people with whom we want to be loved or approved of. If you think I'm making this up, if you're a parent Doesn't matter how old your kids are. How many times have you had the thought this week, I wonder what my children think of you? If you're a professional, when you work for somebody, how many times have you thought, I wonder what my boss thinks of what I just turned in? Why haven't they replied to my email? Yeah, we wonder where we stand with people. I don't know a single person who doesn't feel this way, by the way, and if they say otherwise, they simply aren't to be trusted. And they probably attend Flat Earth conferences twice a year. Or they secretly wonder how their Flat Earth friends think about the most recent fierce presentation. So, what have I said so far? The thing that we want most in our lives is to be loved. That's the thing we want. And that desire, this desire, provokes in us a near constant hum of asking the question, I wonder what so-and-so thought of that interaction. I wonder if my boss liked my report. I wonder what the board thinks of the decision I just made. I know I had a lousy performance in the game, but I wonder if Coach saw the hustle. I wonder what my kids love. I wonder what the young man or young lady thinks of me. Will they go out with me? We wonder where we stand with people. That's my first objective this morning, just to draw that out. But my second is this. At our very core, most inmost being, we also, as much or more as we want to be loved by people, we want to be loved by God. We want to know that we're loved by God. This is an innate desire. There are times and there are days in which we wonder where we stand with God. We whisper to ourselves, I wonder what God thinks of me. I wonder if God loves me. We ask ourselves in certain moments, how could God love me? We wonder if we're loved by God. We wonder if, have I been faithful in it? In the text we have before us, I implore you to consider that these two men following Jesus are asking the same questions you are. The human heart has not changed in 2,000 years. If you don't believe me, read St. Paul too. Now, they are people with lives and hurts and struggles and desires just like you have. They also wonder where they stand with people. They wonder where they stand with God. And they've been waiting for him. The people, they've been waiting for God to come onto the scene. And they've been waiting for him to say something to them. And when they're told by this crazy man, John the Baptist, who you have to be desperate to follow, they hear that he's come onto the scene. They hear that the Son of God has arrived, that the Messiah is here, and they want to know what he has to say. And they make their way to Jesus, miles from home, and Jesus asks them, what are you seeking? Now he knows what they're seeking. He knows what they want. But he asks because he wants to press into that ache. He wants to hear them say it. He wants to lean into that longing because it's only in him they're going to find what they're looking for. Only in him that they're going to find this resolve to the ache. Because only in him telling them, I love you, will their desires be met. You get the sense of desperation on their part when they say, well, by way of reply, where you stay? They want to know that he'll be here. They don't want him to leave. They want to know that he'll be close by. In the 1965 film, The Greatest Story Ever Told, a depiction of the life of Jesus, these two men ask Jesus if they can follow them. To which Jesus says, well, why? And they say, we heard something you said yesterday, and we just wanted to hear more. And what did they hear? That they wanted just like you want. They want to know that they meant something to someone. They wanted to hear their sins are forgiven. They wanted to hear someone tell them, I love you. Oh, why was that true for them, and why is it true for you? Well, what is the great attraction of Jesus? How is it that he draws us in? I'll tell you what I think. I think it's because he says, I love you. The most powerful thing that we can be told in this world is, I love you. Do you remember when the love of your life told you that for the first time? Do you remember the first time somebody believed in you? Do you remember the first time you felt like you heard God say it? Being told I love you is the great change agent in human life. It sets a person free. It breaks us from our neurosis. It lets us know that we're not alone. So what does that mean for us today? We can be told I love you by both God, by Jesus, and by others. And that can set us free, and it does set us free. But because we live in a world, as I said, marred with sin, under the law, stricken by the flesh, we carry wounds with us. And we will carry wounds with us, by the way, until we see Christ face to face. So we will need to be reassured. We're going to need to hear that again. So do you wonder, I'm asking you, do you wonder if you're loved? As I close, I once read a novel depicting a young man and a young woman, both of whom having had past hurts in their search for love, that come out sideways in various consequential ways. And when this young man meets this young woman at a party, he asks who's hosting this party, and she says, I don't know. And then he later finds out that she's hosting the party. But he knows that she is the young woman. She knows that she is the only one with whom he can place his affection. You are the one that I love. But she, being wounded herself, she resists him at first. She feels the same way that she resists him at first. And on the fifth time in the same meeting, he implores her to let him know what she thinks of. And she lowers her head, afraid of declaring how she feels, not wanting to opening herself to being her. And exhaling a chest full of air, he says this to her. He says, I feel vaguely ridiculous saying this. It may be quite out of line. I can't tell where I stand with people anymore. But listen, I just think about you all the time. That's all. And she begins to weep. And she doesn't say anything in return. And he says, listen. Are you listening? I don't care what happens now, honestly. I can wait as long as it takes. But remember, I'm thinking about you nonstop. If you wonder where you stand with our Lord, if you're wondering where you stand with God, know this. And hear him say, I'm here. And I'm staying here as long as it takes for you to know that. And I love you. And I'm thinking about you nonstop. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.